Psalm 91 was written by Moses. And in the first 13 verses, Moses is talking about the benefits of dwelling, as it says in verse 1, in that secret place of the Most High. But in verse 14, God sort of steps in and says, "Hey, Moses, let me just talk for a minute." And in verse 14, God makes some wonderful promises to his folks. He says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And again, I almost preached on this part of the verse. I'm not. I'm going to preach on verse 1. But wonderful, wonderful promises that God makes to his children, to those that know him as their Lord, as their Savior. And those promises are pictured in the Old Testament. They are pictured, first of all, by that place that God prepared for his people called the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, as the Bible refers to it. God's people would go into that land, and they would drink from wells that they didn't dig. They would eat from fields that they didn't plant. They would live in cities that they didn't build. And it was a land that God kept his eye on, the Bible says, day by day, year by year, because his people dwelt there. But his people didn't have to wait till they got to the Promised Land before they saw the provision of God. You go back and you read in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, and you find and you see how God takes care of his people before he got them to where he wanted them to be. You go back and you read manna every day except the Sabbath day, manna every day for almost 40 years as they wandered through the wilderness. Water from the rock in other places that God sent in a miraculous way to take care of his people. When they got hungry for meat, he rained quail. Some of the boys were telling me they're going bird hunting tomorrow, and I thought, boy, the people of God didn't have to go hunting. He sent the birds to them and provided for them as they were in the wilderness. The cloud to lead them by day and the pillar of fire to lead them by night. That gave them direction, that told them when God wanted them to move and when God wanted them to rest. That provided shade by day and warmth by night. And so he protected them and provided for them as they made their way to that place that he'd prepared for them, the land of Canaan. The same is true for us today. We as Christians have a promised land that awaits us. It's a place that we call, and the Bible calls, heaven, where there is a gate of pearl and a street of gold. And there are mansions that are there, individual mansions prepared for us by our Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And so we have a place that's prepared for us just as much as the Promised Land was prepared for the Jews, a place that we will live for all eternity, a place somebody went one time and said, "It's unlawful for me to describe it. I can't describe it. It's an indescribable place from a human standpoint. Words don't exist for me to talk about it." But just like the Jews, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to see how God takes care of us. Just like he took care of them in the wilderness, he takes care of us while we travel through this wilderness called earth on our way to heaven. And that's what he's talking about in the first verse in Psalm 91, where the Bible says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." This morning I want to preach a sermon entitled, God's Secret Place. God's secret place. It's the place where he wants us to dwell while we're here on this earth. And you'll see in just a second, it's not so much a place as it is a position. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that secret place, and I want to say four things about it. The secret place of the Most High, number one, is a place that you have to choose if you want to live there or not. It's a place that you choose to dwell there, as the Bible says. You get to pick if you do it or not. It's not a place that God forces on any person. It's a place that you get to make a personal choice whether you're going to dwell there or not. Now, I will tell you, God wants every single person to dwell there. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, a verse that was in the Sunday school lesson this morning, the Bible says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And this secret place, this place where the saved dwell, where the redeemed dwell, is a place that God wants everybody to come and live. A place where he wants them to come and dwell. And he invites everybody to come. He says in John 3:16, "That I so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son." And we celebrate the giving of that son at this time of year. "That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And he invites us to come. He invites everybody to come. Don't believe these people that tell you, well, God has already ordained and God's already set it and sown that some people will be saved and some people won't be saved. And some people will go to heaven and other people won't go to heaven. No, 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 no. God wants every person to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. Now, he knows who's going to choose Jesus and who's going to reject him, but he does not put in that into any person something different than he puts into somebody else. Everybody is dealt a measure of faith, the Bible says. Everybody has an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this place, this secret place of the Most High, we get to choose if we want to go there. Now, if we decide to come and dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we have to come God's way. Because you see, God doesn't have multiple plans to get to heaven. He doesn't have plan A, plan B, plan C. Salvation is not multiple choice. It's true or false. Do you accept Jesus Christ or not? That's the only way into heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And if we decide to come to this secret place of the Most High, we will come through Jesus Christ. He's the only way to get there. Now, I'll tell you this morning, you don't have to come. God is going to force it on no person. He gives us the right to live like we want to live. And so you have the right this morning in God's sight to ignore him. You have the freedom this morning in God's sight to ignore his book. You have the freedom this morning in the providence of God, in the will of God, to ignore Jesus. And to ignore the price that he paid for you on Calvary. But don't expect God to take care of you like he will take care of those folks that have decided that they're going to dwell in the secret place of the Almighty underneath his wing. Don't expect the blessings of God that the children of God get. Now, he has them in store for you. And he will give them to you, but the choice is yours. You get to decide. You can live in this world, and you can try to get through it by yourself. And by the way, I think this world's a scary place sometimes. And you've heard me say many times from this place and other places in this building, I don't know how people that don't know Jesus Christ make it through this world. I don't know how they can face the trials and tribulations that come in every life without belonging to God. But you can make that choice. You can live in, you can forget about God, you can reject God, you can forget about the Savior, and you can live in this world, or you can decide, like this verse says, I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I'm going to live under the shadow of His wings. And He promises to take care of us. So the secret place of the Most High is a place that you have to choose if you're going to live there or not. Number two, I would point out to you that the secret place of the Most High is a secret place. I know some of you are saying, boy, preacher, that's deep. Secret place of the Most High is a secret place. Well, here's what I mean by that. You can't find it on your own. You can't figure it out by yourself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why no place in the Bible, not one verse in this book, does it tell sinners to find Jesus. I'm glad God didn't leave it to us to find Him. I'm glad it doesn't say, well, you have to find God. It doesn't say that. My Bible says, and your Bible says, if you got the right one, where it says, for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We didn't have to go looking for Him. He came looking for us. He came seeking us. He's the one that called us. That's why the Bible says to us that already dwell in this secret place of the Most High, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why the Bible pictures salvation as a shepherd looking for a lost sheep and a woman looking for a lost coin and a father looking for a lost son. And I'll remind you this morning, those of you that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, somebody helped you find it. Maybe it was a dad, maybe it was a mom, maybe it was a grandpa or a grandma or an aunt or an uncle or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor, but somebody took the time and by something they said or by the way they lived their life or by their faithfulness or by giving you a tract, but somebody in some way helped you find that secret place of the Most High. They took this book, perhaps, and they told you that you were a sinner. They told you that the wages of sin was death, separation from God. They told you that that's the eternity that we have to look forward to apart from Jesus Christ, an eternity apart from God in that place called hell. But then they told you the gospel. They told you the good news of the Bible, that God loved you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die in your place. And if you'll ask Jesus, He'll save you. And you dwell in that secret place of the Most High this morning because somebody cared enough about you to share the secret with you, to show you the way. And again, if we live in the secret place of the Most High this morning, we have the responsibility and the privilege to help somebody else find it. A family member, a neighbor, a co-worker, a friend. Listen, folks, people that don't know Jesus Christ are destined to spend an eternity in hell. That's where they're headed. Somebody needs to help them. Somebody needs to tell them about this secret place of the Most High. Somebody needs to tell them about a Savior. Somebody needs to tell them that Jesus died for them, because somebody did it for you and somebody did it for me. It's a secret place. Number three, it's God's place. The secret place of the Most High is the place where God is. That's why it's not a geographic location. It's a position. It's a place where God is. If we dwell in that secret place of the Most High, we are dwelling with God. He's Most High. He's all-knowing. He's Most High. He's all-powerful. He's, as Wendell sang about a moment ago, he is our Lord, Jehovah. That one that we can have a personal and intimate relationship with. And we love him because he first loved us. If you're dwelling in that secret place of the Most High, you are abiding where God is. And that's why we don't have to wait until we physically die to enjoy heaven. You know, heaven is a wonderful place. It is. I mean, a street of gold. I mean, you know, one of the most valuable things that the world says exists today, gold. You're going to pave the streets with it in heaven. There will be no night in heaven. I mean, no night. No darkness, because the light of the world is there with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no pain in heaven. No sickness. No tears. No separation. No getting old and your joints aching and creaking as you try to get around. Arthritis won't be present in heaven, praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful place. But all of those things, they don't mean anything when you compare them to the best part of heaven. Because the best part of heaven is that we get to be with God. And we get to be with Jesus. And we get to be with the Holy Spirit. We get to dwell in the presence of God. And this verse says, I don't have to wait till I get to that place where the streets are made out of gold. I can do that now. I can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And then number four, that place is a protected place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress. He is my refuge and fortress. When I need a place to run, to get away from all that the world piles upon me, I can run to that secret place of the Most High and find refuge. When the enemy's attacked and it seems like Satan is winning, I can run to that secret place of the Most High and find a place of fortress where no power of evil can break through. It's my security. It's my peace. It's my hope. And I was thinking about it. It's kind of interesting. Again, Moses is the one that wrote about this place. And I think as he wrote about this secret place of the Most High, he probably had in the back of his mind that place that God had him build in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, in the tabernacle. And I was thinking about it, and I think it's a good way to close my message this morning. You know, that tabernacle pictures the place of the Most High God. Moses was up on Mount Sinai. When he got the Ten Commandments, God also gave him the instructions for how to build the tabernacle. There was a court around the tabernacle, an enclosure of cloth that was 100 by 50 cubits, or 150 feet by 75 feet. And that court only had one opening, and it faced east. If you were going to come into the tabernacle, you had to come through that one gate that was in the court. If you're going to come to the place of the Most High God, you have to come God's way. There's only one door. Jesus is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The cloth that made up that court, the Bible mentions that it was four different colors. It was white, scarlet, purple, and blue. And they represent, those colors represent the gospel. The white represents the sinless life of Jesus Christ. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. The scarlet or the red represents the blood that was shed to purchase our salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The purple represents his royalty. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the blue represents eternity. He is going to be our Savior forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you step through that opening in the court to come into the to where the tabernacle was, the first thing you saw was the altar made out of brass. Brass represents judgment. And so God instructed Moses, I want you to make an altar of brass, a brazen altar, and there you will offer all the sacrifices, the lambs and the bulls and the goats, those things that will picture what I'm going to do one day when I offer my son on Calvary's cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins. You could not come to the tabernacle without coming through the altar. It was what paid your way in. It was what punched your ticket in the altar. And in the same way, you will not enter into that secret place of the Most High without coming to the cross of Jesus Christ. When you came into the court, you saw the tabernacle. It was a tent made out of cloth. It had two parts. It had a holy place where the candlesticks, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense was. But it also had that place called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, the mercy seat above it. And above that mercy seat dwelt the Shekinah glory of God, God's presence. Once a year, the high priest would take the blood that was offered, blood of the sacrifice that was offered on the brazen altar, and he'd walk through the holy place into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant and on the mercy seat. And he would atone for the sins of the people for another year. In the book of Numbers, God gives his people instructions for how they were to camp around that tabernacle. And here's what I was thinking yesterday afternoon. There were probably some people in the camp. And again, they were each given a place. But there were some people in the camp as they camped, pitched their tent with their tribes, that said, I want to be as close to the tabernacle as I can get. And so they moved their tent. And again, they were all assigned areas by tribe, but they moved their tent as close to the tabernacle as they could get it. And there were others that said, well, I don't care. Doesn't make any difference. I'm going to pitch my tent as far away from the tabernacle as I can get it. It doesn't make any difference. I want to tell you this morning, it does make a difference. The closer you are to an object that casts a shadow, the bigger the shadow. Think about it. The closer you are to an object that casts a shadow, the bigger the shadow. This morning, I live in that secret place of the Most High because I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I want to get into the biggest part of that shadow, which means I want to pitch my tent as close as I can to my Savior. This morning, I want for you, first of all, for you to get into that secret place of the Most High. That's my desire for you. That's what I prayed for most of last night, that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will decide to come to that secret place of the Most High. And the only way you can do that is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You're a sinner this morning. There is a penalty for sin. Jesus Christ paid the price of your sin. And if you'll come this morning and ask him, he will save you. Now, I know most of us are already there. Most of us are Christians this morning. We live in that secret place of the Most High. But here's my encouragement to you. Get as close to it as you can. Don't camp out on the fringes. Get as close to your God as you can. He is our Lord, and we love him. The closer you are, the bigger the shadow. The closer you are, the more protection. The closer you are, the greater refuge that he is. And then help somebody find it. Help somebody find that place, that secret place of the Most High. Somebody did it for you. Somebody needs for you to do it for them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the wonderful promises that are in this book. And I pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's never been a time in their life where they asked Jesus to save them. And I pray, Father, in the next few moments that they would do that. Right where they sat, help them see that they're a sinner. Help them see that they're under that condemnation of sin. Help them see that Jesus Christ died for them. And Father, help them right now, right where they sit, just to bend their heart toward heaven and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I believe you died for me. I'm asking you right now to save me. And I pray, Father, that every single person that's never done it will do it right now, right where they sat. And in just a second when we sing, they'll get to their feet and they'll come forward and they'll say, Preacher, I asked Jesus to be my Savior this morning, and he saved me. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to get closer underneath those wings in the bigger part of the shadow. And then, Father, help us to help somebody else find it. Help us to help somebody else to get there. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it for your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.